Blog Talk Radio.
This is Psychic Gone Wild. This is Psychic Jethro. Welcome to the new system. Welcome to Friday night, and here we go. We have a wonderful guest, Karen M. Wyatt, MD. Dr. Karen is going to be here. I'm just so phenomenal, a very good author, and discussing grieving and what really matters, the seven lessons of living. She has a very phenomenal book, and I'm having a little bit of trouble here, as always, with the sound system, so we're going to take a 2 minutes with Rockin' Randy Morris. So let's do Rockin'.
Play.
Here we go, everybody. This is Psychics Gone Wild with Psychic Jethro. I love that, rocking with Randy Morris. As I was saying earlier, and I want to thank all of you guys, you've been teasing me, I am not going through puberty. I'm having the most wildest times with Psychics Gone Wild Blog Talk Radio. What we have is a lot of friends and family here to talk to a very gifted individual. And I say, in the word of gifted, this is a Karen M. Wyatt, is a family physician. She has spent 25 years in the medical career working with patients on challenging situations such as hospice, nursing homes, and indigent clinics. She has founded a free medical clinic and a homeless shelter, accompanied three medical mission teams to Honduras, and led a nonprofit clinic for the uninsured in its growth from a 4-per-week all-volunteer operation to a full-time, full-service medical center. It's a phenomenal lady here. Her book is great. You guys, you've got to read it. What Really Matters, 7 Lessons for Living from the Stories of the Dying. And without much more ado, we've also got our wonderful hostess tonight, Amy. We're going to be talking to each and every one of us. Let's start out tonight. I know all of you are excited. Let's talk to Karen. Karen, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing great, Jethro. Thank you so much for having me on your show.
Thank you for coming on. And I got your book in the mail. I read the book, and I'm going through it. And you were just going to wing it. I have to tell you, I've got all these questions and so little time and so much to learn from you.
Okay, so great.
I thank you, and we are working here together. We'll be doing this as a friends here with me and Amy Kavanaugh. Amy, can you hear me?
Yes, I can. How are you doing? I'm thrilled to have Karen as a guest tonight. As you know, I work at hospice as a volunteer, and ever since Keith died, I'm just obsessed with dying in a good way. I just think that it's something that it's like sex was in the 50s. Everyone does it, but nobody talks about it. So I'm just so thrilled to have her here tonight.
So, Karen, we're going to just pick your brain back and forth and do this. We've got a lot of people calling in. And I've got to start out with one of the questions I had right off of them is, Karen, obviously, you know, you're a physician. Is it okay if we call you Karen, or would you rather go by Dr. Wyatt?
Please call me Karen. That's great.
Karen, the questions we've got a lot of, did you choose this career, or did you come in this life and say, you know, was it the need for healing people that got you around dying, can I ask? I mean, that's kind of...
Yeah, well, I chose medicine just because I had, even at a young age, a desire to help people, and I saw a need to bring love into the healing profession, so that was my original motivation for getting into medicine. But shortly after I went into medical practice, my father committed suicide, and I was really overwhelmed with grief and death, and I just couldn't seem to recover from it. And that's what led me into hospice, actually, because I decided, since I cannot find my way out of this terrible, dark place of grief, I'm just going to go immerse myself in death and dying and start studying it to see if I can find a way through this. And that's actually what happened. I started out as a volunteer and immediately fell in love with hospice, which, Amy, you might have found, too. As soon as I got there and started working with dying patients and their families, I just knew it was the place I was meant to be all along. And it was really incredible work. It helped me heal my grief, but also helped me figure out how to live my life from a higher perspective.
Oh, yes, exactly. I mean, you're just telling my story. I'm getting goosebumps from hearing it, you know, and it's the same thing. I mean, while my husband didn't commit suicide, his death was long and complicated, and I think I had more PTSD from it than I had actual grief. And I'm just so sorry to hear about your father's suicide, but I'm just so grateful that you were able to to take probably what was one of your darkest moments and use it as fuel to something so beautiful and so necessary, so necessary.
Yeah, that experience taught me that that's really one of the greatest lessons of life. If we can use our dark times and our difficult times and figure out what opportunity lies within that for growth and transformation, that's really what we're here for, is to find those opportunities.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I am, in all honesty, that's what I always say. Oh, this is the reason I have a radio show, is to talk about me. We're supposed to be here talking about you. But I am such a better person, and on so many levels, I'm so much happier. I mean, certainly I'm still sad, and I miss him and things, and I've had more deaths since then. But I'm just so happy as a person. I feel like I found what I was supposed to do, and I don't know if I would have found it any other way. It sounds like that's a little bit like your journey has been.
Oh, exactly. And in fact, just working with many, many different patients at the end of their lives and their families made me appreciate so much every single moment of life and to cherish it as a gift. And that in the same way has made me feel so much joy and so much happiness in every moment that I have here. And I feel so able to make the most of this life, regardless of when I die or how long my life is. I feel like I've been able to really maximize every moment.
Yeah, that's the one thing I was noticed is, you know, we don't come, if humans would come with a packing slip that said, this is your purpose, we would find happiness so much earlier in life. But I guess that's the great mystery. And that's why we come down, is to just sort of trial and error, find our special gift and find our purpose. But I have a question, since you are a medical doctor, do you find, the one thing that I find about hospice, and I feel like maybe I'd be interested to hear about it from you, from a medical perspective, I feel like it's still so much about the physical. And, you know, of course, I keep a lot of things to myself. You know, my role right now is I take the menu orders, which I just use for an excuse to get in the door. And then different families and different people are at different places, and I've had some, you know, amazing conversations. But when I speak to the staff and when they talk about, I mean, it just seems so, so much still just focused on the physical. So I wonder if you could speak to that a little bit.
Yeah, I think you're exactly right about that. And because hospice now has grown from our rational, scientific, medical perspective, it has really been taken over by that physical perspective. But my role, which was surprising to everyone as the doctor in the hospice I worked for, was to bring a spiritual aspect to hospice and to constantly keep that alive in the minds of our staff and to talk and teach a lot about the spiritual process that patients were going through at the end of life. So that's still the role I feel I have to offer to hospice, even though I'm not working at hospice right now. I'm just writing about it, but that I'm also being invited to come and speak and lecture, but is to remind everyone that dying is a spiritual process. And while we need to help people with their physical symptoms so that they don't get in the way, we need to really be supporting the spiritual process and the transformation that's taking place in the final days. And there's a huge amount of teaching to do there.
Yeah, how wonderful. And the fact that you are a medical doctor, you're going to bring such credibility to it because you speak their language and, you know, you're in their fraternity, or for lack of a better term, you know, for someone, you know, some random woo-woo person to come in and start talking about these things, they'll be like, yeah, whatever. But, you know, the fact that you've got the medical background, that's just exactly who they need to hear it from. It's just, I'm just warming my heart.
Well, one of the little stories that I tell when I speak to medical professionals about hospice is that I heard the story of a woman doctor who was with a patient in the hospital during his last breaths, and he turned to her and said, "Will God forgive me for my sins?" And she had no idea what to say to him, and she said nothing. She stood with him and said nothing, and he died. And she regretted it forever that she didn't have the slightest idea how to deal with a question like that. So I proposed it to every medical person in the room. What if it's you? What if you're the only person there at the moment the patient has a need like this to discuss a spiritual issue? It's your obligation to know something about it. It's your obligation as a hospice worker to know how to help people at that moment, and you might be the only person there, and there isn't time to call in a priest or a chaplain. It's you. You're the one who has to know.
Right. And the priest and the chaplain, I mean, what I've noticed is the two people who are at least prepared in moments like that are the clergy and the doctors, because at that moment, like that question that person asked, they didn't need to talk to a clergy person. They didn't need to talk to a doctor. They needed to talk to another human being. That's just what's so beautiful about it, because even the medical people, they have their training and their protocol and things like that, and there's very similar protocol and things like that over on on the religious side of things. So, and I know there are a lot of people who when they're on, when they're very, very close to dying, they're scared to death. Thankfully, this person who was dying, very soon thereafter, when the transition started, found out that he clearly was forgiven. I had an interesting situation that I'd love to share with you, but I don't want to talk too much. My husband and I got so enmeshed in his illness. It was almost like we were one person, and that was good and it was bad. But he was so scared about dying that about an hour before he died, I found myself, and I wasn't interested in these sort of things. At this time, I just thought I had caregiver burnout. I went into the light and I saw Jesus. And it was like a Jesus, like personal savior Jesus, very graphic with the thorn and his bleeding heart, real Catholic. It was Catholic Jesus. And I didn't know what it was. I thought I was hallucinating. And since then, I've learned that I guess some people would call it like a shared death experience. I think I was so scared that I didn't know, because especially if you are, Christian or something, and you believe that you have to do these certain things to go to heaven, what if you didn't do it good enough? And it was the most profound experience once I realized that I wasn't going crazy and that it was actually just a beautiful gift. It was a pretty life-altering experience. Anyway, I think that's, the best thing we can do for someone who's dying is to be present. It's just to be present with them and accept that that's what's going on. I try to equate it to a wedding, where if the people acted at a wedding the way they act at someone's deathbed, they'd kick you out. But somehow or other, we seem to allow this stuff, Anyway,
We thank you for sharing, Amy. We've got a couple callers here. BNN, you're on line here with us too, with Dr. Karen Wyatt, and we are having a very intense discussion here. I know a lot of you guys would like to have discuss about the other side. Karen, I thank you for you're just. I told you we were going to pick your brains today.
Yeah.
We're just so excited. We're just going, yay. As you've worked in the hospice, you and Amy both, you've seen other individuals. I've got someone here from Miami that has wrote, they said they want to know, I don't know what's going on BNN, but your phone is really doing static. We're going to go ahead and go with the next person here. We've got an email from Miami that's wrote in. They said that they had went and saw their mother pass. They said that a lot of times working in a hospital, they had spoke with someone there that told them that it's not uncommon to feel and sense the souls and the energy a lot. Psychically and in development, Karen, can you tell us as a doctor, you talk about in your book, you talk about forgiveness of God and the person working with it and John's story there, and it really touched my heart. We had children and everything. Is this something that you deal with a doctor quite a bit? Do you, I mean, how... tell us what you do when you have a person sitting there that they're losing their person. What do you instruct them?
Instructing the family of the
yes.
person, what you would say? Well, it's interesting because I actually just lost my mother a month ago. She passed away a month ago, and her brother died the day after she did, which was very interesting. So I went through a death experience with my mom, and then all of my cousins were going through a death experience with their father. But I was able to be there with them at the same time as I was being there for my mom, and talking to them about how important it was for them to let their dad know that they love him, they forgive him, and that they are willing to let him go, that it's okay with them if he goes, and that they will be all right if he goes. And I learned from observing in hospice how many times family members actually gave the opposite message to their loved one, you know, thinking that it will, if I say it's okay for you to go, you might think I don't love you enough. And so I saw a lot of family members saying, please don't die, please don't go, please hang on as long as you can. And that's actually a stressful message for the dying patient to hear. They really need to hear that it's okay to let go. And then in terms of that story of John, on the other side, the patient often has forgiveness that they need to accomplish before they can go. They need to forgive other people. And in John's experience that I wrote about in the book, he actually needed to forgive God. And the issue for him was that he was a younger man with young children and a wife, and he was very, very angry that his life was being taken from him at such an early age. And he had a lot of bitterness toward this God that would allow that to happen. And so he was hanging on, and in spite of being near death in the active dying state for days and days, he was not able to die and wasn't letting go. And I finally came in to talk with him because I think I might know what the problem is. And that's when I asked him if he had forgiven God for allowing him to have this illness and die at a young age. And I talked to him about the fact that none of us understand sometimes the wisdom of God and the universe, that it's beyond us. And it may not make sense to us why our life, the way our life turns out and the things that happen in our life, but that at some point we have to let go of that and let go of our expectations for how things should be. And accept that this is what is happening. And he, at that point, he had been in a coma, but he opened his eyes. He squeezed my hands, and tears rolled down his face as he heard me say that. And I understood that was the message that he needed to hear. It was the task that he needed to accomplish. And he was able to die then later on that night.
It's just phenomenal, your work you do. And I know personally with my aunt, when my aunt, she went in to have some lung tests, and when they did the x-ray, something happened, and long story short, they punctured the lung, and there was nothing they could do. They let us know that she chose to come home. And I was so impressed with hospice that the days that she was home, that they came in, and the couple of days that my, you know, aunt went through, they were there. And it impressed me to see the hospice group come there, that you know, and with my gift and seeing the other side and with the ability, I put a lot of prayer. It was very hard for me, and I can relate with John. I think this brought up some emotions for me that I realized that we all do from different grieving. It's like a time and a place and energy. And reading your book, you guys have got to get it. It's What Really Matters: 7 Lessons for Living from the Stories of the Dying. Karen, really, you're wording, and you're going in through the humility and the different emotions that, you know, you've worked with people. I think you are an angel. I think that what you're doing is just very phenomenal. Please tell everybody what site and your website of how they can get a hold of you for our iTunes fans.
Yeah, my website is www.karenwyattmd.com. And there's a contact form on my website. You can contact me. I do consultations. I'm always happy to hear from people. I write back if you email me. And my book is for sale on my website. Also, it should be for sale through Amazon. hopefully that comes and goes sometimes, but it's not available at times on Amazon, but it should be.
they are so honoring. I went today, and I can tell all of you guys that are on Facebook, all of the friends and ours have been seeing it come up all day. I've been marketing it, and Amy caught the one side of yours, and we got it. We were so happy that we got it on time for the era that we've had a lot of people saying that they went on, and it is in there. And if you guys look on the book reads right now, make sure you click, because the really excellent thing is, you know, Karen's got not only a phenomenal book, but you guys can get with Karen and work out a time for grief. I know that we've had quite a few callers the last couple months, you know, talking with me and Amy on Fridays, one who's lost her son here and another lady who just became a widow here last month and working with. I suggest to you guys, especially, you know, this is the time to get with Karen and, you know, take a time, do a session, learn and feel some of this book. It's just, you've got to go the journey with this book. I can tell you guys that you guys have all heard, you know, me and Amy's stories. We do have quite a bit of a telephone lapse tonight. So any of you guys that are calling the 773-897-6461, call in. We're having people drop and fall. It's been that way on Psychics Gone Wild for this week. We had a baby monitor with us last night that we laughed with the show and everything went perfect. And now that, you know, when the cat's away, the mice will play. So we've got the system going a little funny. And Karen, I have a really excellent person here that has wrote to me from, it looks like we're writing from Eugene, Oregon is where we're writing from, and they're asking that they have just lost someone in a violent death, and they're pretty upset about the fact that this was a child and that was shot. They're not sure where and how. Where do they take this emotions? They're asking that they've been to the church. They feel very upset. They're asking, where would you suggest they go with this, you know, this grief?
Well, in the first place, it's very important to make space for the grief, to allow it to be there, because sometimes people are counseled to kind of avoid the grief and run away from it, keep themselves occupied and do other things. But I feel it's really important to go into the pain and experience it, and to also allow the grief to change you. And that's a hard thing for people to hear, because the one thing that they want is for everything to go back to being the way it was in the past. They only want to go back to the way it was. And the hard reality is that when these massive changes come to us in our life, we have to view it as some sort of a divine intervention in our lives. As painful and horrible as it is something that's coming to us to transform us and to change us. And that's a difficult thing to accept. It takes a long time to accept that. But it's important to keep that view, that higher view, in the back of their minds. And in my book, I call it the galaxy view. It's viewing everything from a higher perspective, that life on this earth is always meant to be temporary, and it's shorter for some than it is for others, but it was from the beginning set up to be that way for us. And so we have to accept that aspect of life. And as much as we have this pain of losing our dear, dear loved one, and especially a child who hasn't even had a chance to experience this life, we have to at the same time have some faith that there is something, there is some reason, there's some higher wisdom in everything that happens, and hold on to that belief so that we can see it in the future. I think it may be hard to find a conventional counselor who can help very much with that grief. And as even Amy pointed out, sometimes the chaplain or the religious counselor isn't the one who's able to really speak it, to really talk to these issues, or hasn't really addressed it or experienced it enough to help. But it's definitely important to find someone to talk to about it, and to find a place to go to start to process all of the pain.
Very good. And, well, you know, as we were discussing the pain and the energies here, I want to thank you, Karen. We've had quite a few other individuals writing in. They've gotten to know with me and Amy. Amy, you know, losing of her husband, her losing of her brother, me of losing my son, and I speak of my aunt. We've talked about different families. And, Karen, you know, discussing here, I do feel that we've become a pretty good family with the grief counseling, that we have quite a few ones who go in. They know it's Ask Claire on Facebook. Is that right, Amy? Is that how they can get in the group there? Because Amy has a group that she works with, too, that we've been working with.
It's Awakening. It's Awakening, Claire. But everyone knows how to find me. And it's been interesting because our 1 a.m. readings that I am going to be doing tonight at 1 a.m. on Spiritual Learning Connection has turned into a group of widows. So someone said to me that mediums have really become the new grief counselors, and to a large extent they have, because they will address this, the unknown, you know, and religion tells us to just have faith, and our traditional therapy tells us to let go. So It's really been interesting, and we've had so many people come through that have become part of the Psychic Born Wild family that would have never been remotely interested in this unless they had suffered a devastating loss. But I'm going to be quiet. I want to hear more from our guest.
Well, Amy, I like what you're saying about mediums becoming the new grief counselor, because mediums are able to see both sides, and that's the higher view that we need to have, and to understand that life on this earth is only part of what it is, of what existence is, and that there's another realm, and that going to that realm isn't necessarily a bad thing. As much as we miss those who leave our presence here now, they're going to another place where there's something beautiful awaiting them. And it's so important that you're able to point that out, because you can see it. And that's kind of what's missing in the religious and counseling aspects. They can't necessarily see that other side.
Yeah, and they want, and really what it is, and where I find people find peace, they need to redefine the relationship. It's sort of like when your kids go off to college or something, you know, that you still have a relationship with that person. And I see so many people, you know, when they go to start dating again, so many, I try to explain to them, it's like sister wives. They don't have to be the same. But, you know, the dead one needs to approve of the live one. I see so many women, or, you know, especially women, they'll just go to the bottom of the, they want to keep the dead one on a pedestal. Anyway, I'll go on and on, but I am just so thrilled that you're, you know, to have, that finally, because so many people talk about this, but then you go to the grief council and stuff, and they're like, well, it just didn't appeal to me. I think it's really evolving, thanks to the work of people like you.
And we love that. In the book, you talk about there, you know, in a spiritual sense, the purpose of all life is to be the bridge between heaven and earth, garden and galaxy. You are a manifestation of the God and the divine on this planet and the universe. And I love that, Karen. I think that really does do it. And when I got the thing to earlier, you guys know I love with Amy. And what I was going to say is it's really great and excellent. Amy's going to be on at 1 a.m. at 714-333-3354. And it's good because you guys get up at 1 a.m., those of you who do. We love it, and we do the readings. Karen, I am sensing with you not only, you know, your spiritual sense as being an MD doctor, but you have a very spiritual calling of your own. So as a child, you were pretty emotional with other people there, is what I feel.
I guess I would say as a child, I seem to come here with a lot of wisdom. It's really funny because I was just cleaning out my mom's house after she died just a few days ago, and I found stories I wrote when I was only in second grade, and I was writing about love in second grade, and I thought, oh, wow, I kind of knew a few things when I was little. I didn't remember it so well, but I came here with some knowledge and wisdom even as a child.
Very excellent. I'm very impressed also with the energy of it. And I do believe this, you know, as we talk about some people believe in reincarnation, some people believe that it's just what we were given here in the world to do. What was impressive, and I see this, I've seen this with Amy and other ones, is like we talk about missions. We've had people call in, and it'll be a very phenomenal night. And I had some other friends tell me about some other people that were going through. And what I was impressed, Karen, is I want to thank you. You know, you came through. You've been helping us with this. We've got people here. I know that we'll get some friends and some different ones will get to you. Today, a person wrote me on a couple of the other sites and was letting me know that they were nervous about this. And they said, you know, it's so nice to see. They're new to being, you know, without their spouse and the loved one, to see it with it. And when I let them know, you know, like, we have Dr. Karen coming on, they were like, okay. We went and looked it up on Huffington's site. They went and looked up a few of your articles, and they were so impressed that they're like, this person is really speaking about this. I said, no, this person's wrote a book about this. And it was so impressive to me that what Amy said earlier, because we are in the times that I think everyone is obviously changing. I know that even, you know, 5 or 10 years ago, when I was doing the metaphysical, and I've done this for like 30 years, but when I was reading there in Colorado, I read there at celebrations, people know it there in Colorado Springs, it was something that, you know, even 5 or 10 years ago, people were still awkward then. I think that what's really, I think it's excellent here and now that we're all living in 2013 is we are, like you said, people are going to you for help, and you're, as a doctor, you're able to work with them, and I think it's more stronger. You know what I mean? And I think that it's not, you know, I know people tease me about being a psychic medium, intuitive, or gifted, but I think the sensitivity that we're all coming to is what will help that person. And I think that people are getting into the life over there so much more. Maybe it's my opinion. What do you think, Karen?
Yeah, I think definitely. And just from the fact, I originally tried to write my book about 12 years ago, and I tried to find a publisher or an agent or someone interested. It was actually more than 12 years ago. And I got rejected everywhere I turned, and people said to me, oh, no one will even buy a book like that. No one wants to read that. And suddenly now, in the last year since my book has come out, it's been... the reception has been completely different, and people really are interested. And I feel like it's so important, it's so necessary for us to move forward on this planet. We really have to come to terms with the fact that on this planet we have a mortal existence. Our physical existence is limited on this planet. We will die as physical beings, and that's part of the keys of why we're here, for us to come to terms with that, I believe. And one of the things we have to grapple with, and we have to figure out, how do we make the most of this life, whatever it is. And one thing I was going to just share, while I was home, my niece came to me, and she's been dealing with breast cancer for the last 8 years, as she's had 4 recurrences of breast cancer. And she said, no one will talk to me about death and dying. And she said, my doctors won't. No one in my family will. No one will allow me to talk about it. And she said, that's the thing I need to talk about the most. That is the one thing that will make the most difference to me. If I can sit down now, as I'm looking at what the possible future I might have, I need desperately to talk about it. And then I realized how much our medical profession is failing patients by not being able to address this issue and help them look at it. And it's very sad to me. So I'm hoping I can make a difference.
I find that phenomenal. I want you guys to hang on, everybody. Don't go anywhere. I do need to tell you, we've got a really great announcement. Those of you who've been watching and paying attention and teasing us with all of our new and added, we are this month in February bringing in all these phenomenal guests like Karen here. We have a very good opportunity for each of you listeners who've been putting in. We want you to go to psychesgonewild.com and put in your email. Let us know what you think. Let us know what you want. We had back by popular demand, we have Don Milton. He will be on February the 17th, and Don is doing a really great work. He's doing some demo sessions and with EFT and matrix reimprinting. He is offering free DIY EFT videos, and what we're going to do with 3 of you listeners is we're going to turn around and give you those videos from his site. All that he asks is that you go in, you pick, you know, the site, you tell him what you chose and why, and then on his show the 17th, you'd be willing to come on the show and talk to to Don and let him know how it's working for you. And we have already, I say we, but me and Psyche's Gone Wild, me and Kelly and a few others got together, and we would like Jen Drake to be one of the first people to be given that, and we're going to be sending that out through an email to her. She is going to receive a free demo from Don Milton, and those of you who know, it's www.donmilton.net, and then we'd like her, just Jen, to come on and see what she, you know, what she chooses, and with the video and stuff, we'll be correlating that through emails. I have two other candidates that I've sent to, but I haven't got to contact. I want to make sure over the radio. And we're just going to keep doing the help that we do. So tune in and see, because that day on the 17th, we'll be discussing what not only Don's videos do, but some really great work with it. Don is a phenomenal person, and like Karen here, out helping other individuals. So very nice gesture, Don. And what we want to go into, Karen, with the work that we've had with your ability, is that you know you've done this for all these years. Can you honestly say, is there a point where you want to go take care of little babies now, and you're kind of, you know, the other end of the spectrum? You know what I'm saying?
Well, I did at one point. We moved to another state, and I had to leave hospice work because our community didn't really have. We moved to such a small town, it didn't have a hospice job for me to do. So I went back to family practice and worked with low-income individuals and enjoyed that too as a change from hospice. But I really feel like I have a mission to spread this word. So I left practice in order to write this book, and I really feel like this is what I came here to do, and that it's really important that I do it, and now is the time. Now is the time I'm being called to put this out there.
I find that phenomenal, and I find that really excellent. And we have our second one here that they're going with the energy. You guys are really going through, and the person is asking me they've got through the phone here, and I'm going to catch them real quick. This one had emailed me on Skype. They can't get to work, but they said, Karen, they find this very phenomenal, and they want to thank you that when they called in tonight, they've been listening to the show. They can't get through to us. It seems like the 1-2 thing's not working well for some of the Skype fans, and they're letting me know that, Karen, they just want to applaud you, not only for the book. They have been reading the book here the last couple of days, but as we'd announced this and let it know on our Facebook and other friend sites, Karen, they also said that they noticed that you had not only done some working with this, but you also are worked with the author of the Integral Vision. I apologize.
Yeah, Ken Wilber.
And they're asking about this. They're asking if you would share any information. I apologize, you guys, tonight. Those of you who are teasing me know that I got to be honest, I am psychic, and I have to be, because sometimes my glasses, and you're having a sight, so it's been a day, believe me. We'll talk about that another time. But Karen, would you like to enlighten us? Is there anything you can let us know? I mean, working with this gentleman and getting...
About as far as working with Ken Wilber?
Yes.
When my husband and I moved to Colorado, we had been fans of Ken Wilber, reading a lot of his books and material, and he's written kind of a roadmap of development, human development, and how we develop and the stages through which we develop. That's very, very comprehensive. And when we moved here, we got the opportunity to actually meet him. Through some teaching we did to a group of interns, and they in turn were working with Ken Wilber, and they told Ken about us, and we got to meet him. So he has become a friend, and I've been able to go and meet and talk with him a number of times. And I did an interview with him that's been posted on the Integral Life website with Ken Wilber about this book. Ken read the book and endorsed it and was very excited about the book. And he's written a book called Grace and Grit that was about his experience with his wife, Treya, dying of breast cancer. He's been a very good supporter of my writing and my book, and very helpful to me. So I'm not sure if that's what the question was asking about.
Well, and I laugh because when you guys write to me like this, and I got to tease some of you guys with text, I am psychic, but even psychic, I don't understand real text. I got to I'm going to tell you the truth about my age now. So when you text me, it's kind of what I feel or sense and you kind of get. So I'm also just realized, and I know that you guys are going to laugh. I do have a son who really teases me about that, but he, you know, and I've had the funniest thing is, as through the years with the different developments that we've done through the computer, I thought I was really good because of my gift. I could always pretty much sense, and I found out for a long time I didn't really do the reading. But now with this, and even with the glasses, I realized this was a lot of text. So we were getting to it, Karen, and I thank you for bearing with Psychic Jethro. But it's just like we just have got this funniest group. And what I love about those of you listening, I know a lot of you are listening to the archives later and are going to do this, you know, get the book. It's what really matters, and it's really excellent. Karen is helping a lot of individuals, obviously not only with the book through dealing with grief, but Karen, you were very honest here. Now, you said you just lost your mom not too long ago?
Yes, just a month ago she passed away, and I was able to be with her the last 5 days of her life in her home and take care of her, which was perfect. Like, she had always wanted that, and I had too with my hospice experience. I thought it would be perfect if I had the opportunity to take care of her at the end of her life. And she was 89 years old. She was very ready to go and had done all of her own work to prepare for dying. So she was actually very happy, happy when she realized, like, this is the end. And it was phenomenal. We had the most beautiful, profound experience together for those 5 days as I kind of helped her along the way in this journey and supported her and was just there to help her get through it, because it's a difficult passage in a way. It's a process, you know, letting the body gradually go. And but it was so incredible and so profound for me. That's actually the next thing I'm going to write, is the story of that experience with my mom.
I will definitely put my name on the first of that list, because I can feel the energy, and it impresses me, you know, Karen, as you're discussing this with you. I can feel, you know, you feel your mom's presence, you feel the energy, and I do believe, and not only the angels on the other side because of my, you know, passing and coming back and my ability, but I also have really phenomenally seen the most excellent work with individuals with this. I had a friend who, we said her ability was that she was a crossover, and meaning that she would come in like this and work with people during the passing, during the time. She did work at different help and homes and some of the facilities you and Amy are discussing. And what was really phenomenal was you would feel the grace. I honestly believe that we're all called to a different calling. And I do know that sometimes spirituality, you'll see this with a reverend or someone in, you know, in a faith capacity come in with this. But it's a very good energy to have with it. It sounds like, and from what you've said and what I'm feeling here, that not only were you and your mom really, you know, strong with this, but you two got to have exactly how she wanted to go through this whole energy for her on the other side.
Yeah, it's what she had been hoping for. And it was, in addition, like, she and I had not always had the easiest relationship with each other. We had had a lot of kind of frustration and I think pain in our relationship, in our attempts to try to love one another. We kind of missed the mark in quite a few different ways. But these last 5 days together, it was phenomenal how much all of the old pain and disappointment dissolved and vanished between us, and we just connected in such pure love. And for me, it completely healed some old childhood wounds I had and allowed me to completely be free of those things I've been working on for a long time. And actually, just instantaneously, they were gone. And in this moment of just pure love, as she was close to passing, it was, it's hard for me to even describe. It was such a beautiful experience for us to have together.
It's a unique energy, and I my hat goes off to you. And I have sisters who my mom passed in June, and I you've got my respect, because I knew that I knew this was very intense. And my mom was very pride. Her big thing was she never even took aspirin, and she was like, you know, very just strong Native American woman. And what impressed me the most when her time was coming and things were happening was she kept making all these jokes about it, and she kept teasing. They took her to a hospital, which my mom had been to see a doctor, I think, twice or three times in her whole 79 years of her life. She just, Native American, did not really have much, you know, faith and respect in the hospitals we know it. But what impressed me, and I've got to tell you, in Colorado, you guys, my hat goes off, but they were very, very good to my mom. And I had a surgery down there many years ago, and I'll just say the Colorado hospital. But I was just so impressed, and what I loved about what they did was, they made really good jokes, and some of the specialists even teased about the fact that, you know, my mom teased them. She says, well, you need to take a turn with some of these other girls. You know, you're taking me down for all these tests. You know, I think you may have taken these other girls with you. And the doctors were just so much fun that I could feel the energy here in Tampa. I love my mother's sense of humor. I hopefully have some of the good sense of hers of that, and just always laugh, because we always danced. One thing we had in a memory, and one of the really excellent experiences I did feel, and like you said, that was, I knew when it was time, they said that things were happening, and me and my sister, who's very psychic, were talking. She's in Colorado, and we were speaking on the phone, and it had just, she just passed. We both knew it. We heard our grandfather on the other side say, he had a very deep voice, as I have, and I have my mother's voice, and he said, it's time to go. And he just, I mean, when he said it, there was no doubt in who it was, and we both knew it. We both got a buzz and energy, and we both went, whoa. And I said, I better go, you know, and I knew. She's like, yes, call me in a few minutes. So I went home, spoke to the other sister who was there at the hospital. She let me know, she goes, Mom just passed away. And, you know, she was grieving still at that state. And I know I sounded really silly, but I was so happy for my mom. I could just feel the love. And I knew that my grandfather and my mom were so close. They were very strong on that side, that when their energy came together, they were very strong individuals. My grandfather was very gifted. He, you know, owned a ranch and was very, very psychic. But when they came in the energy and them being on the other side, I was still so wound. I know that my sister thought that I was losing it, because I'm like, she's like, yes, and it happened. And I go, isn't it, you know, it's great. She's not in pain anymore. And then they were, you know, everybody's like, well, what do you mean? And I realized that when it goes to the strings, you doctors, you've got my respect. You know, it's not an easy career. You're there to help. And like this was out of your hands when you were talking earlier. And yeah, I love your feeling, Karen. I got to tell you, I know I'm putting a lot of spiritual to do with you, and it's unfair, but I'm very Christian, and so is Amy, but we can just feel the light from you. You pretty much, some of this mission, you just obviously have a gift for it.
Oh, well, thank you. Well, it feels like ever since I got involved with hospice, that was so clearly my path, so clear to me that I was in the right place. But I, now that, because you mentioned that you're Native American, I thought I should ask you this question. After my mom died, the day my mom died, she died in her home, and the mortuary came and took her body away. My sister-in-law and I walked outside her house, and across the street there was a bald eagle sitting in a tree looking down at the house and watching the house, and it was so profound. I've never seen a bald eagle that close, and especially not in a neighborhood like my mom's neighborhood, sitting and watching her house. And it was powerful. We stood there for a long time and watched that eagle, and it didn't move. It didn't fly away. It stayed. We even approached the tree, and it stayed there, looking down at her house. And my first reaction was, that's my dad. Like, that's my dad. He came. He came to make sure my mom, you know, to see if she needed help and to help transport her. But anyway, I know that there's a lot of importance to bald eagles in Native American spirituality, and I just wondered if you knew anything about that or had any sense of that.
Oh, yeah, very much. And a bald eagle is like the high command of the top, you know, of the line. They're the most fierce, they're the most strongest, the best hunters, the best, and the top of the up there in the area of high flyers. I do agree with you that it was. I feel that it was your mom's way of having the guides check on it, just to let you know that they were still there with your dad, too, that they were telling you that they were still watching after you over here, and that she was pleased. Whenever you see a bald eagle like that, we have an eagle man that comes to our show here that does his totem. totem doesn't. And I feel that that was the blessing from the other side to let you know they were watching you and that there was going to be healing, because the eagle magic is a lot of healing. It's a lot of very strong medicine. One thing you'll see very phenomenal with those of us who do, you know, use the feathers or do with the work, or you'll see with it, is it's healing. And it's that was a blessing to let you know that she was very much at peace. They were there also to see how you two sisters were doing with the energy. Your mom had left strict instructions, and we believe, belief is we always go light to, when we first go in the Bible, we go right to God or we go to a higher power. And with the Native American, they send the animals down to make sure that we're all okay. Because while your mom was up there working with all of the things happen, they'd also sent that blessing down to make sure. She wanted to also let you guys know that your dad was very happy with how things had went. They had discussed things, and I feel very blessed. It was a very good omen for you. They're also telling me that you are pretty strong with your abilities, that you at night you seem to fly. You seem to, when you're dreaming and you're asleep, you seem to kind of go out of body there.
Yeah, that does seem, that's been happening to me quite a lot lately in my dreams. And I have really powerful dreams. I've had a number of dreams about patients of mine when they have died, and I've seen other loved ones in my dreams after death, or sometimes just before death, have come to visit me and talk to me. So I've been very respectful of my dreams and knowing that that's a very powerful modality in my life.
I feel that, and this has just been recent with this eagle. This eagle's going to show back up, and it's a blessing that they've given to you from the other side. It's going to be there around for the next, especially for the next couple years. Eagles are a pretty long time with it. That's also the other blessing for you, too, is you've strengthened up your energy. You would be what would be considered, obviously, not only a medicine woman, but you're coming into a woman of power. You're counting your energies. You're bringing it in. Right now, you're on that energy of what you've done. You're a very noble, honorable medicine woman, and they're giving you the power there. That's why that nights with the dreams and the strength. And what I also see happening for you is they said that your husband seems to be the one grounding you at times, and yet he wants to fly too. There's some funness with you and your husband and the relationship that you two are going to do together. And they said that's why they're giving you this extra strength. It's like you two are both wired into some really strong medicine. Very strong.
Wow.
Medicine.
Well, my husband's also a physician. He's still in practice, in family practice, but also quite a healer. So that's interesting to hear.
That's why they're doing that and what they're saying. That makes sense. See, as you go through this part of power, you and him will share that power, and you're both going to be able to really not only strengthen but put some level into this work. They said that the guides are saying to me that the energy that you've been blessed with is that it's you not only have helped other people cross over, but in your dreams you're also going over there and discussing with them. That's part of this, is you're flying over and talking with the guides and the work over there to ensure that each and every person that's coming in can be not only helped, but also these other books with your mom, and there's many books coming from you. And they said that this is the time in the life for your knowledge to help so many. It's so great. It's blessed.
Wow. That's interesting, because I sat down today to just begin some of the writing about this experience with my mom, and I felt so much energy pouring through me. I was almost vibrating as I was writing each word. I could feel it coming through me, which made me feel very strongly that it's the right thing to do. This is what I need to do next, is just have the courage to keep writing and keep putting it out there.
It's very good. And I looked at the clock, you guys. It's that time. We've got a few more minutes. Karen, I want to thank you, and you know that you can come back. I think you need to come back another time this month. You are just phenomenal. It's been fun. I know we've got a lot more people to get the book. We'll be good. Come and visit us. You know, we've got other people that do the other shows. I usually do Friday and Saturdays. We've got a really phenomenal group of psychics, and we thank you for coming on. We've got, you know, other friends that we want to talk to you, and when the phones are, tonight I think there was a reason. Obviously, the guys are telling me and Amy that I haven't grieved my son enough, and my mom, and Amy with Keith. The angels are doing this for a reason. We've got really one other person on the call that's a friend that listens in that promised me I'd never push her button because she's shy, but the rest of the other calls I know are out there. Karen, I thank you for coming on. I'm going to run this through the archives. There's a lot of you guys listening. Get the book. And come, I know then you're going to want to talk to her. And, you know, when we had all the write-ins today, there is a little problem with the 773 number. We did not have the show. Thursday night, we had two guests from India on. And, ironically, one of them was not even a guest. They just ended up coming on. But there was no phones that could be gotten a hold of. So, Karen, I am so grateful you came on. We feel so blessed. And, you know, please keep us in your list of maybe we could talk to you to come on again.
Oh, thank you. I'd love that. That would be wonderful. This has been a great experience for me, really fun. Thank you so much.
Thank you, and bless you, Karen. And we're going to go ahead and at this point go to the last of the things and tell everybody all the fun things for the last minute of the shows that we've got. We've got a lot of things coming up and happening here with Psychics Gone Wild, and I know all of you guys are excited. We're adding new people daily. We've added Shelley Seitz. She's a phenomenal astrologer from True Psychic Network. She will do your astrology. Tune in. You never know when the lady on the time clock is going to get me with the second. You never know when she's going to be on. So tune in to 773-897-6461. Monday nights on Spiritual Learning Connection, Amy's going at it at 8 p.m. You never know who's Amy's got as a guest, but you also know to get a hold of her at 714-333-3354. Say that when your lips are tired. Go into the fact of some other energy when you're going into it. Tuesdays is Pamela Cummings. Remember, our best American psychic. She is a phenomenal gifted psychic, does music, hears energy, has been nominated this year into the world in the top. Also Psychic Jethro, 2 years in a row, top world psychic, rocking in the 50s numbers. We're going to be there. We're going to be doing it here every time you turn on the radio for Psychics Gone Wild. Remember, one of us will be here for you. Continuing on Thursday, Valentine's Day, it's me and Dina Flanagan from Maine. We're going to do a special angel show for the Valentine's Day. Be ready to be working with Raphael. She told us yesterday her favorite angel. And Kareem from Maine will be there, hopefully, on February 14th, discussing angels and all that expertise that Kareem has. Welcome to the new year with us on 2013. We will talk to you tomorrow night. Don't forget Don Milton, WW. We will be giving those out to you guys. He's a great guy, and look at his site. You'll love it.